Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. More than once, she has been the number one realtor in the entire state of Hawaii. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, how are you, Randy? Did you make it back safely?
Yeah, back in California. We made it. A little bumpy ride, but, you know, we made it.
Well, you were coming flying on Monday, right?
Yeah.
So I guess you had some of the after effects from the volcano, the earthquake, and the tsunami, so the water.
Who knows? I know Saturday night, our last weekend on Maui, we definitely got to take part in a tsunami evacuation, which was scary for a while because I'd never been through that. So, you know, and the tsunami warning siren is right outside our window. So
oh,
no. It's really loud and really
You've
annoying
never...
and really scary. And, you know, because you have visions, that your first thought is, oh, my gosh. What if this is a really bad one? And, you know, we were literally 50 yards from the water. And so anyway, we got as much stuff together and we cruised up. We basically, I know you know Maui, we basically, being in Hana Kauai, we just got on Highway 30 and headed up to Kapalua.
Right.
And pretty much parked alongside the roads of other people who just got to the highest ground they could and parked and waited and waited and waited. And 5 hours later, we got the all clear. So it was not bad. About 8:30 in the evening. So, you know, 1:30, we got to go back. And I guess it ended up being really nothing to worry about. But, we've got to do that. So at least I could say I've been through at least the warning. But it's kind of like, you know, we talk about real estate. And, of course, Realty Universal, all about real estate, literally, worldwide. You know, I remember talking to some guys on the Big Island, some real estate agents, and I remember asking them, how do they sell homes that are in, like, Lava Zone 1 where there's...
Right.
You know, you're...
I know, we do. People want to buy it. I don't know, but we tell people, but go ahead.
Yeah, imminent danger. And the guy kind of put it back on me, you know, and this is a typical kind of, you know, kind of in a sales mode overcoming objections, but I go, how do you overcome that objection with people? And he goes, well, a lot of people live in California on an earthquake fault. And, you know, it's supposed to go any moment, right? California's the slip of the ocean, and they still buy real estate in California. So
That's a good point. We always tell them we've got lava one zone all the way through four, and one is the most dangerous. And if you can get insurance... Some people still want it. I wouldn't want it because I don't want the lava flowing through my house at 3:00 in the morning before I even have time to get up and get out. But
yeah. But
everybody's different. Yeah. You know, some people, you're right. It's not a, some people feel like they're,
because
yeah, it's amazing. Well, I'm glad you made it back safe and sound.
Yeah.
I'm on the East Coast right now, and we had the
Sandy
storm. And I just been praying and praying for all the families and people lost loved ones and people that are in devastation right now and lost homes. There's 50 homes that burned to the ground in Queens. It just breaks my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
We've been consistently praying, and our prayers go out to everybody and the support. And it's just we missed it. We had lights flickering, but the lights didn't go out. Lots of rain, lots of wind. So everybody was hunkered down, you know, preparing for it and preparing for, you know, days worth of food and all that you need to do. But it's definitely, it just shows us Mother Nature is really a step ahead of us, huh? no matter what we do.
So you avoided the power outage then?
Well, you know, here when I'm here, because I go back and forth, the power lines are, the electricity is underground, so I think that's better unless your land really gets soaked, you know, than the above ground. So we avoided it, but, you know, a lot of people are out of power. I mean, they said over 7 million homes are out of power, and, you know, it's just so devastating, so horrible. And I had a friend call me on island and on Honolulu because, you know, going back and forth, said, where are you right now? I want to make sure you're okay. And I told her, and I said, you know, are you guys okay? Because I knew she was. And she said, it's so funny how small our Earth is that, you know, Hawaii is getting the effects from the earthquake from Canada.
Yeah.
And then the East Coast is getting Sandy. And, I mean, when you think about it, it's pretty remarkable. And then people talk about global warming. And sure, everything was, you know, the planet's been getting warm for quite a while. And but I think there's more to it than that, you know.
And people talk about, you know, biblical, you know, last days, all these wacky, you know, people read some of these really crazy descriptions of, you know, earthquakes. There will be earthquakes and famines and, you know, the moon will turn red and all these kind of deals in the last days. And yet it's and I know people can argue, well, we've always had earthquakes. We've always had famines. Nothing new, you know, under the sun. But I really do think we're going to see a lot more of the wackiness in the, you know, in quote unquote Mother Nature, as we kind of, you know, and again from our belief system as Christians that, you know, that the world is not going to last forever.
It's all written in Revelations. We don't know how long, you know, but I mean things are coming to pass, and it's just we just need a lot more love and peace out there, you know, and a lot of people pulling together. And I think through these storms, you see people really pulling together, which is fantastic. And God bless them, because it's just I don't know how to. I had boxes in my backyard that needed to be cleared out because I had a leakage in the basement, and I had them under a tarp, which was silly of me because it should have been done immediately, but. But, you know, with the schedule and with the way it's been with my brother, you know, for months, I was just let it go. And Saturday I said, oh, my gosh, I spent hours. I had to go through it because if the winds were going to be as much as they said, you know, these things, it could just all blow away. And I spent hours and hours going through it. And lo and behold, I realized two of my son's baby albums, like two big albums, were completely ruined, like, pictures, you know, huge big ones, and it's kind of upsetting, right? Because and it's my own fault let them stay out in boxes, even though they were under a tarp when we had the leak, and it was my own fault. But I thought, and luckily I have a lot of other albums, but there were two big ones, and he was 2 weeks old, a month old. I mean, oodles of pictures, and some here and there are okay, but most aren't, because when you try to even peel the paper up, it starts messing the photo up. And I thought about, you know, you feel bad about that because those are treasures, right? And I thought about, look at those people losing their homes, and 50 homes burned to the ground, and thousands of people, millions being displaced. And, you know, it's just tragic. It's just tragic. They're losing everything. And the biggest thing is to have our lives, but they're losing all their memories and I'm not memories, but they're probably treasures and things. Just, you know, now we do the digital photos so much, and I was thinking I should have done all that, scanned all my old ones, you know, from 30 years ago, but I never did.
Yeah.
But I put it in perspective. I thought, okay, it happened. It's over. Nothing like what these people are going through, losing all their belongings, you know. And it's sad. Yeah. I just pray that we're still in the aftermath. I mean, there's still quite a lot of cleanup and work, and, I mean, they said the subways in New York aren't open yet. You know, they're still looking for people. It's just a mess. So,
but the bulk of the storm has passed through the East Coast.
Yeah, I think the bulk of the storm has passed through, but it's after effects. Now, you said your son's in New York, right?
Yeah. He was actually in New Jersey, heading to New York he's on tour, doing his video shooting thing with Atlantic Records, with a band, and they were getting ready to do. They just left New Jersey, getting ready to go to New York, and. They were told they're not going anywhere, and so they were hunkered down in a Holiday Inn in New Jersey. He said, yeah, it was crazy. He was watching, you know, he said he saw car doors, you know, car doors just flying off. People would open a car door, and the car door would fly off. That's how strong the wind was. It was like literally, I guess, not maybe a hurricane, but interestingly enough, the wind was blowing enough, and he said it was crazy. And so we got a text from him early this morning, and he's, you know, he's okay. They stayed inside. I warned him because I know he's a videographer, and there's got to be a
reason. He'll want to go outside, yeah.
Yeah, to get a lot of crazy video, but
you can't.
I said, you know, and he said no. He goes, I wouldn't even go out in this because it's just, it's insane, you know. And I always see those guys on TV, right, on CNN and Fox.
Oh, going right into the storm.
Shep Smith standing right there by where the water is going to come, you know, and some of them hanging on to banisters as the wind blows, you know, and you're thinking. And I remember Geraldo Rivera was famous for that. He would always go to wherever it was the worst, you know, and be right in the middle of it, and just until the last minute when they, you know, when he had to get out of there. And it's just, yeah, it's pretty scary. I'm really, yeah, we're praying. And really kind of to segue to our topic today, which is our last conversation about the election, Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, in the news this morning because, you know, giving high praise to
right.
President Obama for his efforts to help New Jersey in this crisis. And in fact, as we speak, I think President Obama and Chris Christie, the governor, Republican governor, are, you know, in New York. And I guess, you know, and Chris Christie just says it like it is. You know, he said, you know what, this is about saving people's lives. He goes, I could care less today about the election.
Exactly.
Which
right.
is, wow. That's saying what needs to be said. That's for
you
sure.
You know, I think a lot was learned, though, with FEMA and everything, when the government, when we had the problem in New Orleans. I think Katrina really brought,
yeah.
you know, Katrina was so horrible that they had to rearrange and change everything, you know. So I think a lot of systems have been put in place. Now, my hat's off to President Obama, too, to react quickly and give okays to send the help to the, you know, when the governor's called in for him to okay the help to be able to go to state level without going through all the paperwork and everything, you know. So I do, my hat's off to him for reacting very quickly and efficiently, you know. But I think they really, really after Katrina, a lot. FEMA took the brunt of a lot, right?
Yeah.
And government
yeah.
took a brunt of a lot. So I think a lot of things have been put into place. And yeah, and it's just it's going to be. It's a very, very expensive mess right now. And I just pray that no more lives. You know, that they can save many, many more lives because it really is after the storm that so much happens. You know.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting our first half of the show today, which typically is on real estate. We kind of devoted the last couple weeks to the election, Romney versus Obama, Obama versus Romney, just because it's so important to get out there and vote and so important.
Yeah.
This is a really historical election that's going on. I've heard, you know, they've put in the news that some of the voting machines are not working properly, which is this is prior to the storm. And I read where there's over 200 attorneys volunteering, ready to get in there and start fighting, like we had the fights back in 2000 with Gore and Bush, President Bush and Al Gore.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't happen and come to that. But I heard some of the machines are malfunctioning. And now, of course, they're going to have to, with the storms and everything, I hope that the voting goes as planned. I know a lot of early voting was moved around. And so it's really important to get out there and vote. And the divide has been, I guess, President Obama and Governor Romney haven't been able to get out and do the rest of their campaigning as planned because of the storm.
Yeah.
And
I wonder, they've been talking also about whether or not, you know, whether or not the actual election could be postponed because folks in New York and Massachusetts and whatever might not be able to vote on election day.
Can they do that, though?
Well, from what I understand, I you know, what I've heard is I've listened to some talk radio is that they cannot do that. They cannot change the date of an election. Obviously, if folks in New York, you know, can't vote, they can postpone, I think, a state or a portion of a state or a county, but they can't, you know, just postpone the whole, like, across the board. Across the country, so it's gonna go on, but they may have to postpone. Which I think, again, when we talk about who that hurts, must really hurt the president's hope, you know, chances in that New York, you know, very much a Democratic state, definitely in his camp. So, you know, and again, like you said, now you mix that with these you know, the machine's not working, and then of course there's been a real, and it goes back and forth. I think both the liberals
right.
and the conservatives blame each other for voter fraud, you know, and I know Al, what's his name, Reverend Al Sharpton, has been down in Florida because he's contending that, you know, Republicans are not allowing, you know, are not allowing certain people to vote.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Well, I heard some of the machines were reverting back to when they're not working to Obama. And I mean, I find that hard to believe, but that's what they put on a couple stations. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're going to, you know, one of the things, you know, we want to try to get the facts where the facts are and see what the facts come out as. And
yeah.
I just pray. One of the things, you know, we're the United States of America, and we've been formed as a melting pot, which allows people from all walks of life, all religions, all faiths, all races, and creeds to come in and have freedom. And just many of our freedoms have been getting taken away. And, you know, in different countries, of course, we different countries have they're not as much of a melting pot as we are, you know? So I think we're just getting away from so much of what America was built on, and that's what I feel like we need to get back to. You know, we really need to get back to, and you know, you and I constantly talk about God, and we wouldn't tell any religion that, hey, it's our way or the highway, you know? People that are honoring their own religion, but it seems like there's such a divide with church and state, which I know in certain countries they do that constantly, but we really shouldn't be doing it here as far as freedom goes, and we are, and it just is very frustrating. I found it hard to believe, I know, just that Obama, President Obama, did not honor National Prayer Day in 2009 at all. He didn't cancel it. He didn't take it out of history, but he didn't have services. And I don't understand that. Now he's trying to profess that he's Christian, but I just have a problem. Like a week and a half before the election, they're trying to put ads out that now he's more of a born-again Christian. You know, it just seems so not fair to me what's happening. And the Bush era, you can the L.A. Times printed it on May 7, 2009, Obama ends Bush era National Prayer Day service at the White House. He didn't cancel it. But for years, it's been a staple of the White House calendar. And anyone can look it up. It's in the, you know, on the L.A. Times, May 7th, 2009. What he did, the May 9th was dedicated as the national, on the first Thursday of May, it does not always May 9th, was declared, dedicated as a national day of prayer. And originally, President Truman signed the first National Prayer Day proclamation, and President Reagan made it a permanent occasion. Now, that's, you know, that says a lot, right?
Yeah.
Why all the other presidents went in and did it and had it and honored it, why did President Obama not do that? You know, and that's just more of the same of what's been going on throughout the candidacy, and now a week and a half before election to say, oh, you know, my views are changed, or, you know, he was under the radical, remember, in the radical church for 20 years. I don't think he got out of that until 2008.
Yeah.
I just don't believe, I'm not saying your views can't change, but I don't believe that you stay somewhere for 20 years that's against many people, and then all of a sudden you change. And I just... I don't know.
Yeah.
But these are, you know, the things we like to put out is some facts. There's a wallbuilders.com. You can look it up. It's America's most biblically hostile U.S. president, and they have a lot of lists of different things that's happened, and then you can go to the article so you can specifically see when, what, where, and who's stating this. Because we want to give facts. We don't want to, you know, just say something and not be able to back it up. This one article, America's Most Biblically Hostile U.S. President, was on wallbuilders.com, written by David Barton, February 29th, 2012. Ooh, leap years, huh? We got the 29th of February. It says, When one observes President Obama's unwillingness to accommodate America's four-century-long religious conscious protection through his attempts to require Catholics to go against their own doctrines and beliefs, one is tempted to say he's anti-Catholic. But that characterization would not be correct. Although he has recently singled out Catholics, he's equally targeted traditional Protestant beliefs over the past 4 years. So since he's attacked Catholics and Protestants, one is tempted to say that he's anti-Christian, but that too would be inaccurate. He's been equally disrespectful in his appalling treatment of religious Jews in general and Israel in particular. So perhaps the most accurate description of his antipathy towards Catholics, Protestants, religious Jews, and Jewish nation would be to characterize him as anti-biblical. And then when his hostility towards biblical people of faith is contrasted with his preferential treatment of Muslims and Muslim nations, it further strengthens the accuracy of the anti-biblical descriptor. In fact, there have been numerous clearly documented times when his pro-Islam positions have been the cause of his anti-biblical actions. So listed below, we're not going to go through it, but this is where you can look it up on wallbuilders.com.
Wow.
And the article was written by David Barton, February 29, 2012. I know we're not making it all about, you know, religion or Christianity or anything, but for me, I really believe in God, and I know many, many people believe in God. We're Christian, but if somebody's not Christian, they still believe in God, and our country was founded on God, and now, you know, they're taking God out of the schools, out of everything. I was reading an article also on CBN.com, written June 14, 2012, said the publishing arm of the Southern Baptist Convention can no longer use military logos on its Bibles for service members. According to Lifeway Christian Resources spokesman Marty King, the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines have revoked their authorization to use official service emblems on the scriptures. The Military Religious Freedom Foundation threatens to sue, claiming that allowing the logos to be placed on Bibles violates the Constitution. Special Bibles for military members will now only bear a generic logo. King added that the military Bibles continue to sell well and provide spiritual guidance and comfort to those who serve. I mean, why? Why? Why are they doing this? You know? So.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I just think we need to get back to, I mean, people, if everybody wants everything in life to be whatever floats your boat, if you go back in history and you look at it, many, many countries have fallen after that period, you know, the Roman Empire, you know, many things. So anyhow, we don't get enough time on here to really make it an equal thing, you know, if anyone wants to call in, our number is 347-945-5428. 347-945-5428. You know, I don't know. What's your feeling on it? I'm not trying to, you know, I mean, we haven't really been able to go over everything today yet, but what's your feeling? I mean, do you think that God should be taken out of our government?
No. And it is, I'm trying, and it's fascinating to me because how we grow up kind of aligned in one camp, maybe politically, often because of our parents. And we either kind of buy into what, you know, they did and become Republican or Democrat, or maybe we do become independent. But I know that we're all suspicious and this whole, you know, anti-Christian, kind of pro-Muslim attitude, I've really been asking myself, you know, is this just me because, you know, I've always been Republican, you know, or is there evidence that, you know, evidence that demands a verdict, as Josh McDowell would say, is there evidence? And there is, there's lots of evidence to include this, this whole Benghazi mess that, you know, really, I think a part of it and the reason again, and I'm just, in my mind, I'm just kind of, you know, I'm just kind of offering my opinion, but and opinions of a lot of others, actually. But that President Obama, I think, felt because of his, at the very least, Muslim background, if not Muslim faith currently, his that would somehow, you know, kind of chill out Al-Qaeda and chill out the, you know,
is that what you think, that maybe he thought if he just got along with them, he would kind of make it smooth over?
Yeah, I think he thought that, you know,
that's a good point.
this thing is lessening now. It's no big deal. We don't have to be so worried. Even in Benghazi on, you know, September 11th, and you know, and Senator McCain made the point of, you know, we should have at the very least had aircraft on standby alert all over Europe, ready on September 11th. We should have just done that, regardless of what was going on, just in case.
Exactly.
And we worked. And so I say all that to say it seems like that President Obama, that there is a kind of a leaning toward, you know, his previous, if not current, Muslim faith. And, and there's a lot of radical conspiracy theorists out there, and we've all seen them on YouTube. You know, you've seen some of these movies and stuff on YouTube, and every once in a while I start to go, huh, you know?
No, I know. It's really, you know, that's a good point. That's really a good point. Well, I know, I mean, he, you know, it's, I mean, being the president's a tough job, so I give him credit, and I give everybody credit, and, you know, but I think our their backgrounds, like he was more a community leader in Chicago, so he's used to, you know, negotiating. I've been in negotiating for 27 years, you know, with real estate, and you try to make things a win-win for everybody. And in a perfect world, it would be nice if everybody could just get along and have a win-win. But we, us as the United States of America, we need to be tough in certain situations. We need to hold our own and hold our strength. And I think we're – and what you just said makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense for him to think that maybe that'll go away, you know. And I love the Muslim – I mean, I think Muslim – I love Christianity, and that's – I'm Christian, but I love – I think the Muslim religion's beautiful too. You know, I don't – I have respect for everybody, right? And
yeah.
You know, Al-Qaeda is a different story. I mean, that's not, it's a totally different mindset than what it's really supposed to be, you know, portrayed in the Quran. And, you know, so I don't know. I really, really pray that a lot of people get out and vote. I know I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God, and I don't mean that as a joke. Like, okay, Randy, like, you know, miraculously wise, we wouldn't be here. I don't mean it like that. I just mean, in life, we're going to have trials and tribulations,
yeah.
and we both know each other well, and you know, life is not always a bowl of cherries. And if I didn't have my faith in God, and my strength with that, and my connection, my spirit to God, I wouldn't have been here. I probably would have checked out a long time ago, honestly. And I just think we can go back historically and over and over and over and look at the do unto others as we want others to do unto you, and the faith, and look at where things have really, you know, I mean, there's plenty of people that say are gay that believe in God and believe in religion and believe it, you know what I mean? Or there's plenty of people that it doesn't mean that if somebody, you know, isn't, you know, the straight, by the book, whatever, that they don't believe in God and don't love people and love whatever. You know, I think that we're getting to such a time where everybody wants to say, whatever floats your boat, whatever. Well, how are kids supposed to learn anything? You know what I mean? It's so confusing. Like, we need to we need stability. Everybody needs stability, and we're just taking it away. So there I go off on my thing, but we're almost, we're going to have a guest on the second half, aren't we?
Yeah, we absolutely are. And again, if you didn't get a chance to call in this first half hour, and you wanted to chime in on the debate or on the presidential election, again, radio@realtyuniversal.com is the email address, radio@realtyuniversal.com. Randy Zachary, my name, broadcasting live via Skype where am I? I'm in Cameron Park, California. Kind of near Folsom, kind of on Highway 50.
How far away is that from, north?
Yeah, we're about, about a half hour east of Sacramento.
Oh, okay.
Heading up in toward Lake Tahoe on Highway 50. And so kind of in the foothills. Was a little bit of a challenge finding some Wi-Fi this morning, but we found it. And
tell Monica I said hi.
Oh,
I will. What's your is your weather getting chilly?
It is. It's cloudy and rainy.
Okay.
Which I love. So.
Randy's been in the sun too long.
I've been sitting on that Maui beach way too long. I was joking with people as we left Maui. I go, Yeah, I'm not really much on sand or salt water, so for me there's not much to do here, you know what I'm saying?
That's
nice
too funny.
Group.
But I understand it.
Yeah, you know, I posted on Facebook, we did get kind of a lovely parting shot because we left for the airport kind of pre-dawn the other morning, on Monday morning, and as we, there's this little park, Hanakoai Park, right by where we lived, and as we kind of glanced to our right, there was this full moon right over the water, and it was just about to set. It was the most beautiful thing. And
oh,
I posted
wow.
that on our Facebook
this
page.
This was Friday? Monday?
Monday. And I just kind of, what I posted was kind of a lovely parting shot as we leave Maui this morning. Thanks, Papa. Because it was just one of those things where God was saying, I love you, you know. You know what I mean? You just, when I see something like that, I take it really personal because it's so beautiful. And I was able to see it and take part in it, you know. So always looking for opportunities where I know God's, you know, God somehow loving
isn't that
on us.
Wonderful?
His beauty, of course, and his creation.
Oh, it's amazing. And, you know, the storms with the ocean, I said that had it made a difference, too. I think it today's Halloween. We forgot to mention it's Halloween.
Yeah. Oh,
my.
Oh, yeah.
I bought a whole bunch of candy, though, for the kids, and I started eating it already, which is no-no. But
that's my problem, yeah. Which David Cooley, of course, our guest who's coming on here in just a moment, will help us with, because he is a guy who he's written a book called The Eden Kitchen, and he's a certified health coach, so maybe he can help us get through a Halloween healthy way. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Realty Universal Radio.
We're excited to be able to continue to bring to the world stage a company as dedicated to universal excellence as Realty Universal, Inc. On the surface, our company has been initiating a revolution in the real estate world since 1996. We started offering our menu programs when it was not the standard way of doing business. Now it is so much more understood and commonplace, although we are still ahead of the rest due to experience within the systems. In today's economy, our menu programs make it possible for buyers and sellers to still have a win-win situation. The best situation in life is when everyone wins. Everyone must give in to assist in the outcome, and what happens is very positive experience. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe that sellers and buyers should have choices. As obvious as this seems, traditional real estate has never been structured in such a way as to allow the multitude of choices sellers and buyers truly deserve. After years of perfecting and receiving feedback on our programs, we have developed real estate menu systems that are used by buyers, sellers, and agents and brokers who are part of our Realty Universal network, which is growing by leaps and bounds.
Hi, I'm Michael Hyatt, professional blogger and public speaker. I'm also the chairman of Thomas Nelson Publishers, a husband, a father, a grandfather, and a Sunday school teacher. I often get asked, how do you get it all done? Two words, life plan. Sadly, I've met very few people who have a plan for their life. Most are passive spectators, watching their lives unfold one day at a time. They may plan their careers, the building of a new home, or even a vacation, but it never occurs to them to plan their life. This is why so many people end up discouraged, disillusioned, and wondering what went wrong. The good news is that it doesn't have to be that way. You can live your life on purpose starting today by going to michaelhyatt.com/life plan. There's three reasons why you need a life plan. Number one, it will give you clarity about where your life is headed. Number two, it'll keep you in balance when things get crazy. Number three, it'll give you peace of mind knowing that you're addressing those aspects of your life that matter the most. Creating your personal life plan is not so much an ebook as it is a life planning experience. In the book, I'll take you through a visualization exercise that'll give you enormous clarity on what matters most. A five-step program for identifying where you are now and how to get from here to where you want to be. A weekly and quarterly process for keeping your life on plan and moving in the direction of your highest priorities. Two planning templates, a Word document, and a separate Excel document that will make it easier for you to create your plan and keep it up to date. You can't buy creating a personal life plan in a bookstore. You can't even buy it on the internet. There's only one way to get it, by subscribing to my free email newsletter. All you need to do is go to michaelhyatt.com/lifeplan and sign up for my free email updates. I'll then immediately email you the download link to this amazing free resource. Don't wait. You can start the life plan adventure today. Experience the power of living your life on purpose.
And a good friend, Michael Hyatt, talking about the life plan. And boy, that's an appropriate segue into our second half hour. Not sure what that was. Randy Zachary broadcasting live via Skype from outside of McDonald's in Cameron Park, California, where I found some Wi-Fi. This is Realty Universal Radio, and again, it's a show about God, about real estate, and in the second half, we're about giving back. And we say self-help, but I don't really get to the God-help thing, but there's a good mixture of kind of we got to do some of the stuff, some of the work. It just doesn't happen, and whether that's mental, as we've talked about, mindset, you know, positive thinking, but also in terms of our health. And so Natalie Mullinex, of course, is with me as well. We've got now a person with us. I was going to say a good friend. I feel like he is because I've interacted with his son so much, and amazing son, Paul Cooley, kind of a internet guru dude. And David Cooley is pops. He's dad. And he's the author of The Eden Connection. He's a certified health coach. And, man, I've been looking at the website, and there's a lot to talk about in a very short period of time, David. I know this segment always goes very, very fast, but welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome. Thank you. This is great.
So,
welcome from California.
Yeah, welcome.
Away from the storms. And God.
The number is 347-945-5428. 347-945-5428 if you've got a question or a comment. Many of you listen. Our show keeps growing, and a lot of archived listens, but I noticed the live listens are increasing as well. And if you are listening, again, on the Blog Talk Radio Network, give us a shout. 347-945-5428. Okay, David, let's dive in. The Eden Connection is a book that you've recently written, and obviously there's some biblical, I'm going to say undercurrents, but I would say overtones. I mean, it sounds like eating the way we were originally intended to eat. Is that correct?
Yeah, the book itself, you know, the health message is for anyone, but yes, there are several chapters in there that's directed to the church, I guess, that, you know, I think Christians out of anyone in the world should understand health probably better than others, because we seek after God's design. Mm-hmm. And yet when it comes to health, we kind of ignore his design of the body. And if you designed a car, you're the creator of this car, you would know how it runs and how it works and what it's supposed to take to keep it going, to maintain it. And God, he created our bodies, and there's certain things he's provided that maintain it and bring it health. And then there are other things that unfortunately are mass-produced that will totally tear down the body and age us faster and lead us to all kinds of ailments as we see all around us.
So you're right, that you're absolutely right. I mean, obviously anybody wants to be healthy. There are just kind of across the board absolutes that you should stay away from, things you should eat more of, and we talk about fruits and vegetables and stay away from, you know, fast food and sugar and the breads and the stuff like that. And I think a lot of people know or think they know what to do. But talk to us for a minute about how to implement that, because on this section of our show, we're really big on people having takeaways. You know, we hear
Can you give us the title again, though? I couldn't hear it before. It was kind of muffled.
Yeah, it's The Eden Connection.
Eden Connection. And the website would be, or if you want us just to...
Yeah, it's EdenConnection.com.
Perfect.
So, real
Thank
hard
you.
There.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think you know, I've always said health is easy. Health is really simple once you understand some basics. And for people that are just starting out and they know they need to eat more fruits and vegetables, and yet, you know, who wants to be eating 7 to 13 dishes and servings of carrots and celery sticks? You know, people just don't do that. And I think one of the best investments that you can do is to go out and buy yourself a Vitamix or one of those high-speed blenders. I call the Vitamix blender with an attitude, because it will take anything and pulverize it. And you can just so quickly in the morning throw fruits and vegetables in, have yourself a smoothie for breakfast. You can make a nut. You can take it to work or school with you. And it's such an easy way, a tasty way, to consume more raw fruits and vegetables. But don't go so far on the fruit side. You've got to have, you know, those greens are important. You've got to get the greens in. So at least half of the mixture should be greens, you know, vegetables. But that's one of the easiest. And then, you know, if a lot of us take supplements, well, if you can find the right one, it's a whole food supplement, not a lot of these isolated, chemically extracted. It takes seconds a day to do that. And so those are some of the first steps I tell people.
I have a blender, and I never use it for that, and that makes so much sense. Isn't that terrible? I wouldn't say never, maybe like twice a year. I mean, I have before, but that makes sense, yeah.
Well, you know,
I'm one of those people that I don't like to eat all my fruits and vegetables constantly, so I'll eat it here and there. So that's a great way to start.
Well, you know, I've been playing around with some different combinations, especially this is great in the summertime, but at any time, is you can do some right combinations, and you can make basically healthy shakes, healthy soft ice cream that's basically a meal in itself. And, you know, when it tastes so good, you go, how can this be a meal? But you get the right ingredients, and you can do that with a Vitamix. And so it's a great – I think it's one of the best kitchen appliances you can have as long as you use it.
Well, and that makes sense, David, because, you know, that for me, that's the issue. I mean, it sounds awesome, you know, okay, green vegetables, leafy vegetables. But, I mean, to me, what is that? That's salad, pretty much. I mean, what else? I mean, you know, spinach, but – there are things that I think many people, and I guess I'd be in that category, just don't look forward to eating. You know, I mean, like, you know, does it taste good? How do I do this? You know, as a lifestyle, and you're saying to kind of ease your way into this thing,
here's something for you. If it takes starting out with fruit smoothies just to get a starting place, do that.
Yeah,
and you know, put some pineapple, banana, apple. But you know what you can throw in there and you will never, ever taste it is kale, spinach. You will never taste it.
That stuff that we, good idea.
And then all of a sudden, you've got it, your kids start getting it, and it'll turn it green, which is great because most people will look at green things and go, I don't want to drink that. But because it tastes so good, it will start converting the family over.
My son does smoothies all the time. He's 33, so he's not, you know, he does it all the time. And I never, what do you think about those, what is it, like energy shake supplements? You can buy the powder, you can pour that in, right? And just, that's a good idea, right? Or do you just prefer natural?
You've got to find some good ones.
Okay.
You know, I'm partial to what I do, and I don't know if I should be saying that on the radio here.
Of course, no, that's what we do here. That's a good thing that we're not part of no one can fire us, so we're fine about that.
Okay.
That's why our first half of our show sometimes gets a little political.
Well, let me throw this out to you then. You know, I do a lot of research with the vitamin supplements I take and things of that nature, and I'll call companies to find out, you know, how do you process this? But, you know, I've kind of come full circle. I mean, I've tried so many different things, and I feel there's not a lot of difference between the medical pharmaceutical world and the health vitamin supplement world. You know, one side is pushing the drugs, and the other side's pushing their health supplements.
I believe it.
And I don't like the fact you can go into a health food store and you got 2, 3, 4 aisles just lined up with bottles. Mm-hmm. And I go, I came in here for food, and they've got all these supplements. And most of them, I mean, I hate to say it, but they're just not that good.
Mm-hmm.
And the one I use It is a whole food supplement. In fact, it doesn't even have a supplement label on the container. It's a food supplement. I mean, it's a food label. And it's got the studies behind it, the clinical research. It's backed by doctors, athletes. I mean, it's great. And it's something you've probably heard of, Juice Plus.
Juice Plus.
Juice
okay.
Plus. And it is a whole food supplement. Matter of fact, I've got a really interesting blog post called 3 Weeks to Live
okay.
on the website. If you go to that under Fruits and Vegetables, 3 Weeks to Live, and you'll see the power that is in whole foods. And one thing I should say, backing up to the whole conversation, whether you're doing fruits and vegetables, supplements, whatever, the reason raw foods are so good is they're loaded with thousands and thousands of phytochemicals, phytonutrients.
Okay, I've got your site up right now, and that's what, my son does all this. I'm just really, I have to get with the program, right?
But Juice Plus is something that, it fills in the gap. You're getting 15 different fruits and vegetables, and the way it's processed, but read that 3 Weeks to Live. That's pretty impressive.
What do you think about, there's not much we can do right now to counteract the processed food, the GO, what do they call that, where they're making, real.
Here in California, the GMO thing, the whole genetic modified.
It's a mess.
Yeah, and it's on the ballot, and this is going to be really interesting because GMO people are spending $1 million a day in ads to beat it. And if you're spending $1 million a day, you must be, there's something up that you're going to lose if this passes. And,
it's so bad.
And so if you look for organic, it should not be GMO. Or if you have farmers markets, things like that, where you know the grower may not be organic, but they don't use pesticides, those are great. Because there's a lot of growers out there, just because they're not officially ordained as organic, it doesn't mean they don't care and they're not using.
So we really can
avoid it.
My phone's echoing for some reason. So we really can get away from that, right? Because I mean, there's countries that outlaw it already, and now we're finding it here in the corn and everything, so many things. So you think we still can get away from that then?
Yeah, I think we can. I think if you mentioned earlier the processed foods. I believe, and I'm talking a huge percentage, 80-90% of everything you get in the grocery stores is basically garbage. And it has GMOs in it, and the percentage of GMO foods or ingredients that are in the foods, it's like over 80% of all those food packages. And the soy in this country, 3/4 of it is probably GMO, and most of that goes to grain to feed the animals that you buy for your
right,
your meat.
And that's what I've heard. That's horrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. And I don't know. It's just another part of the industry that's destroying people, and people don't have a clue. And that's what's so sad. You know, I can sit here and say people are destroying themselves, but if you don't know, you don't know. And then you get educated and realize, oh, there is a better way, and then have the desire to do it.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm thrilled to hear it's on the ballot. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, Randy, you vote in California too, right? You and Monica?
Yep. David Cooley is with us, and again, he's a certified health counselor, Eden Connect website. EdenConnection.com and the book. And I listened to you. You're a great eater, because I feel really inspired and motivated. But what's just respectful? It's just common sense. It's just doing your due diligence. And I would say to the people who don't know what they don't know, they could be your guy, and like you say, with your blog posts, there's all kinds of education.
It's amazing. I'm on it now. It's wonderful. Called the EdenConnection.com. TheEdenConnection.com. David, I have a question for you, because you mentioned when you first started speaking that, you know, a lot of people don't really get into it or realize the health ramifications until their 50s, 60s, and 70s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of really makes sense, because the way God made us, I mean, we can pretty much fight a lot of things in our early years, and if we don't take care of ourselves properly, then in the older years, we're paying for what the damage we did, right, earlier.
Yeah, you know, what I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, generally speaking, from birth to about age 30, people don't think a lot about their health.
Right.
You know, they haven't lived long enough. They can, their bodies are young. They can take a lot of the hits. And then they may put on a few pounds and this and that. But generally speaking, they don't think a lot about the health. And then from 30 to 60, then things start happening. Things start changing. You know, they don't have the energy. They've more fatigue sets in.
Mm-hmm.
They start seeing more signs of aging, aches and pains. And I've talked to so many people in their 50s.
Mm-hmm.
They basically say, I feel terrible. And I'm going, you still got a ways to go yet. And and in that time frame between your 30 and 60, if you continue on the same road that you did your first 30 years and enter from 60 on, yeah, you're in trouble, I think.
So there's hope if you change it now. Like if you change it today, you can. I know, I remember hearing many times over the years that our cells reproduce themselves. They used to say in 6 months, then 3 months, 90 days, and I've even heard it less than that. You know, that. So can you kind of think you can change it, right?
Yeah, it's. The body is an amazing, amazing creation. It, you know, it'll do everything it can to balance itself, to heal itself, but it, without the right materials, it's a hard process.
I mean, it's kind of like putting low-octane gas in a car that requires the highest, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like you're going to, you know, it's not going to work well.
And the other thing the body will do, you know, if you've read The Eden Connection, one thing I address in there that I think is most people don't really think of is the acidic and the alkaline. That's a whole other issue as far as our cellular structures. We are supposed to be more alkaline than acidic. And our blood is slightly alkaline, and the body will automatically do whatever it has to keep it at that alkaline. If it goes
really?
A little bit above or below, you'll go into a coma. Too much out of that range, you'll die.
Oh, no.
And one of the things it will do, it has to rob, if it's not getting the nutrients it was designed for, and you're eating the American diet and drinking the American beverages, you're pretty much guaranteed you're acidic. And then the body, to protect the blood, it will rob from other parts of the body those alkaline minerals to neutralize the acid. And one of those minerals is calcium. Well, where's the body going to go?
To your bones,
I've
got to
get some calcium. So it'll take from the bone. But now that's an automatic function that the body does to protect the blood, to keep you alive. But the rest of the fluids around our cells and in our cells, again, supposed to be an alkaline saline solution, but the body will not regulate that. We are the ones responsible. And
wow.
So if we feed ourselves acidic diets, we remain acidic, and that will only lead to disease. Cancer is an acidic disease. Almost all diseases are acidic.
Isn't it with the antioxidants and, I mean, the different things that it's fighting, but then we kind of throw it out of balance and really?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Do you eat meat? Do you eat meat?
I eat fish occasionally, but I have not had meat for 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
just fish occasionally. Okay.
Yeah. But the thing is, when you know, so many people that go, gee, I'm going to eat more raw, I'm going to eat more vegetarian. It's interesting, some of the studies I've seen lately, that there's a lot of vegetarians out there, but they'll eat eggs and cheese. And some of the studies show not a lot of difference in their blood versus meat eaters. And where true vegetarians, vegans, whatever you want to call them, the blood is different. And I thought that was interesting on a study.
But I always thought I know we all have different blood types, and I thought, you know, there was a book out years ago called Your Body Knows Best, and it referenced different blood types, like some people need more protein than others, et cetera. And it kind of made sense. I mean, I'm not a doctor, scientist, et cetera, or in that field. So do you think some people need a little bit more protein than others? And, of course, you could come back and say, well, you get proteins and nuts, and there's other ways to get it other than meat. But do you think that based on our makeup, some people need more than others?
Yeah, I think you know, none of us are the same. And
right.
We have to find out what works for us.
Okay.
And in the area of protein, one thing I was going to say, a lot of people go, well, I want to be a vegetarian. But they don't really have the understanding to do that. And, well, I'll eat nuts, I'll eat do this, I'll do that. But not all foods have complete proteins in them, all the amino acids that's necessary. And so you have to know what you're doing. And you need to get all the right aminos, because the body will take the amino acids. Basically, let me back up. When you eat protein, the body breaks it down into amino acids based on the amino acids that are in the food. Then it takes the amino acids, and it'll make thousands of different proteins for all different functions in the body. And that's the way it works. But if it doesn't have the right amino acids and enough of them, then it can't produce the proteins that you need. And so it's just another balancing act. Yeah, so.
Well, take it from your body.
Yeah, muscle and different things, yeah.
So that, like, if you took the Juice Plus and did smoothies and then started learning and have things in moderation, you could see a big difference, I would think. Well, and our body kind of does tell us, right, when we're extra tired or maybe we need iron or more calcium. Our body kind of gives us signs, right, I think, if we listen.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a balancing act to figure out what works for you and what doesn't, because, like I said, we're all different. So.
And stress, I think, is probably the number one killer when you look at how fast we deplete what we're doing.
Yeah, there's so many things that play into the whole health scene, and exercise, everything. But,
wow.
You know, if a person will go on the smoothie thing, start the day, maybe take some with you later, and you avoid some of those other meals, you will lose weight. If you have, if you're overweight, you will lose weight.
I got to do that. I mean, I'm not majorly overweight, but a little. I could lose some 30 pounds. My son, we don't have much time. My son last year, a year ago in January, ended up in the hospital. He's a health nut completely. I mean, he does. But I think what he did with a bunch of smoothies, and again, I need to start them because he's 33, so it's like I'm not into his routine. You know, I have to. He was having, I think, so many, and I think he was putting peanut butter in them, and he was eating. What's the fruit? It's a little. It has a bunch of seeds in it. I can't think of the name of the fruit. It's
kiwi?
A natural, not kiwi. No, it has a bunch of big seeds. It's a fruit, and they eat the seeds. It's huge. It's so I think it starts with an M. I can't think of the name of the fruit.
Mango.
No. Oh, I'm so sorry. No, but it's got seeds. It's big seeds in this fruit, and it's not little seeds. They're like little round. I mean, I would throw them away. I wouldn't eat them, but people do eat them in this fruit. And he ended up with impacted. I mean, that's far-fetched, but I'm just saying he's such a, you know, that it's like, I guess he had too many with the peanut butter, with the seeds. He was eating the other fruit. Like, right away I knew what it was, and he said, that's not it. And I said, I bet it is because it, you know. But I think, I think it's the happy medium is to kind of have balance, right? And you can find that on your site, the EdenConnection.com, right, to learn what the best steps are to do that.
Yeah, balance is the key to everything. I mean, it's, you know, again, we're probably basically out of time, but, you know, there's so many other, when you start talking health, there's so many avenues you can go down. And
that's
the fats
true.
And oils, the water, all those different things, and you've got to have some understanding, know what you're doing, and try to get variety, too. Variety is important.
David Cooley is with us, and we are out of time. We've got like 30 seconds. I want to say thank you again, and David, we're going to have you back, and maybe for an hour even. I don't know. There's so much more I've wanted to ask as well, and I know our listeners. Go to theedenconnection.com, buy the book, read all of the blogs. I was just reading some of them as we were listening online, and powerful stuff. And again, theedenconnection.com. And David Cooley, thank you, sir.
Hey, thanks, guys.
David, thank you. It was a pleasure. We'll look that up. And
God bless.
Okay, you guys have a great day. And
right,
bye, everybody. Okay.
You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
David Cooley, wow. Wow,
that was wonderful. I've got to find out the name of that fruit. It starts with Matt. I can't think of it, but I'll think of it. I'll probably think of it right after we hang up.
Yeah. You got me curious now.
I know. I just texted my son, but he's probably not going to text and answer back right away because he's at work.
All right, we've got to go.
And that was wonderful. I'm going to keep in touch and look up and buy the book.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you guys stay in touch. Please do.
Thank you, David.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Natalie, take us out.
Okay, bye.
What do we have? How many seconds left do we have here? And that was wonderful. And again, David's book is called The Eden Connection. You can go to theedenconnection.com to look up a wonderful amount of information. I think it's all here. Everything's here. It's just wonderful.
Yeah.
Blogs, workshops, be a health coach, partner. There's a store, explanations. So it's called theedenconnection.com. We've run out of time. Please don't forget to vote, and I wish you peace.